And we're talking about what it means to be a student who lives for Jesus, a son or a daughter, and then what it means for a dad, what it means to be a godly father. And today we're going to talk to the moms a little bit, but I've said this all through this series, and let me just remind you again that revival and change in our church and in our community and in our country, right, that we need right now, and in our world that we need right now, the change can happen right now. Because listen, we don't have to wait for an election, and we don't have to wait for a law to be changed. You can be the people that God's called you to be today. You can build a godly home today. You can start that process, right? So I love the fact that, listen, the gospel brings so much freedom because I don't have to wait for Caleb to get it together, right? Like, I get to choose at the pace of how my obedience, how close I get to Jesus. Isn't that right? But here's the deal. The truth is that most of us, if we're honest, we just kind of make things up as we go along. Isn't that true? In life, right? Particularly as you, in your home, sometimes you kind of just make up this whole thing as you go along. Like, we have an instruction book. We have scripture, but we just don't always read it, right? Any man in the house like me, when I first got Addison, when she was born, we had some things to put together, right? Cribs, any guys just like, I don't need no stupid instructions? Anybody? I don't need no stupid instructions. They're like, look, extra parts. Or rebuild. Right? Come on, son. None of the men are confessing anything this morning. They're like, no. I have done that on more than one occasion. Right? I'll get something. I'm so excited. I'm like, I don't know how it comes together. I'm just going to look and see how I think it should. Right? And the tragedy is we do that in life sometimes, don't we? Like, how many of you thought you knew what it was going to be like to be married? Ouch. Right? And you get married only to find out that the Hallmark Channel edits out a lot of stuff. You know what I'm saying? Right? Or we decided we're going to have children. And we thought we knew what that was going to be like, right? Ouch. We're going to have a baby. It's going to change everything. Oh, it will. Right? And here's what you discover. Babies don't stay babies for long. Isn't that right? Michelle and I, when we found out she was having a baby, we went all out and we bought all the books, right? We bought the book Baby Wise. Anybody remember Baby Wise? Or What to Expect When You're Expecting? What I expected was them to just like get up and move. Like, here's the deal. Like, they were only babies for a short period of time, and then I'm like, okay, I don't know what to expect anymore. Right? Like, you help for a little bit, right? And sometimes people say this cracks me up. Like, we're just going to wait until we figure out how to have kids, like, you know, how to raise children, and then we're going to have children. Or we're going to wait until we can afford children, and then we're going to start having babies. Can I just tell you, you are never going to have children. Right? Because you don't ever know how to do it right every time. Isn't that right? And you're never going to be able to afford children. Because can I just be honest with you? Like, that one right there, Mackenzie, like, she come with a price tag, y'all. You know what I'm saying? Right? She was in the hospital for a month. Y'all, I see you. Pick you. Come on, somebody. Like, you don't ever know. Like, as well as you plan, and you know, sometimes it's like, curve. Right? So I want to talk to the moms this morning, and we've been talking about how to be a hero in your house. How many of you would say, Pastor, my mom's already a hero, right? Okay, nobody. Okay, thank you, Mackenzie. Mackenzie got the look, just kidding, anyway. But the truth is we have a playbook for life, right? And we've been teaching a lot on this whole idea of influence through this series. And we've been looking at this guy named Timothy. And I want to talk a little bit more about Timothy this morning. Timothy had a grandmother. Her name was Lois. And his mom's name was Eunice. And all we know about his dad is he was a Greek and he probably didn't serve Jesus. And then Timothy comes alongside and meets this guy, the apostle Paul. And Paul kind of takes on this father figure, this mentor, and mentors Timothy and puts him in spiritual leadership over a church. And he becomes an influencer of influencers. And here's what it says in 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verses 1 through 5. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son. He says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded, here's the line, I'm persuaded now lives also in you. So where does Timothy get his influence? Who influenced Timothy that he would have a sincere and living faith? His grandmother, before Paul comes along, his grandmother and his mother, right? And Timothy, we read, and he is a world changer. He was an influencer for the kingdom of God. And moms, here's what I would like to say to you today. We have a responsibility to raise godly kids. And you have an incredible influence over your children. Isn't that true? Now, I know that parenting is a partnership, right? Like, it is absolutely a partnership. But moms have an incredible influence over their children. So what did Timothy's mom and grandma do? That's the question. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 5, it says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. So Timothy's grandma and mom had this sincere living faith, and that's what influences Timothy. So Paul said, I'm persuaded that I see what Lois and Eunice, how they lived and their sincere faith, and I see that in you, Timothy. And I've seen it be passed down to you. So to raise a world changer, mom, you've got to instill faith that's both living and sincere, right? Because here's the deal. Isn't it true that hope is a terrible strategy for parenting? Right? Well, I hope my kids come out okay. Right? Like, you've got to decide, you got to set a goal. Now, I know every year we do a goal setting usually for our church, and I like to set goals because I think if you don't set a goal, you're never going anywhere, and I've probably got some evidence of that with some people, right? But here's the deal. I think you ought to set a goal. But listen, as you raise your children, you need to have a goal of what kind of this child you want to raise, right? And then now in some weeks, isn't this true? The kind of kid we want to raise is one who's old enough to be out of the house. And that's true. Now, you're not going to say that, right? Right? But you know, like, there's weeks. Anybody had one of those weeks ever? Don't raise your hand. It's all good, right? Some of you back there are like, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, that's me. Right? Like, that's sometimes. Now, we'll never say that out loud, but right? But sometimes that's what it feels like, right? But most of us, here's the truth. Most of us wouldn't say we want to raise a child who's entitled or who's spoiled or who thinks the whole world revolves around them. Because, how many know, doesn't matter how much you love little Johnny or Susie, the world does not revolve around them. Isn't that true? Right, and they'll find that out if you don't tell them. Somebody else will. Come on, somebody. And some parents are like, well, I just want my kid to be successful and significant, right? Or here's probably the worst thing you can pray for them. I just want to raise a kid who's happy. Here's the deal. God didn't call us to do any of those things. What God calls us to do is to not raise happy children, but to raise holy children. Let me say that again, because that's, God doesn't call us to raise significant superstars. He calls us to raise holy children. And when we do that, then all that other, he says, seek first the kingdom of God, and then all of that other stuff will come. Right? But mom and dad, sometimes we like to say, oh, I'm going to do this. And God's like, you're trying to do it in reverse, and it's never going to work. Right? Because how many know if you don't do it God's way, it's not going to work, right? So our goal is to teach our children the same thing that Jesus spoke to his disciples in Matthew chapter number 22, verses 36 and 39. It says, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind. And this is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. So here's what Jesus would say to us. If you can raise children who love Jesus and love other people around them, I mean, no, we're honestly not really good at that. Like, we got some children that sometimes love Jesus and according to Facebook and a lot of other places, not real thrilled with people around them. Right? If we can get to a place, if we can have LifePoint families who say, you know what, I want to be a hero, and the way to do that is to raise my children to love Jesus first and to love people that are all around me of whatever race, whatever background, like just to love people, that's the goal, right? But I want to talk just for a few minutes this morning about how to have and instill in our children a sincere and living faith. And the first thing would be this, that we've got to be genuine. Right? Verse number 5 says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith. Moms, here's what I know. Your kids will imitate your faith. Again, we said this last week, but John Maxwell says this, we teach what we know, we reproduce who we are. Right? And one way that we are sincere with our children is this. In Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 37, it says this. Now, I'm getting way down just where we're living. But let your yes be yes and your no, no, for whatever is more than these is from the evil one. Let me flesh out this for you for just a moment, okay? I'm going to help you, all right? I'm going to help me because here we know we all need help, right? Because we have these children. We're like, what do, right? Scripture says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. So, mom, if you ground your kid for a week, don't restore privileges after half a day. Come on, somebody. If you take their phone away for a month, don't give it back after 3 days. I'm getting evil looks from the children. Right? Come on, somebody. What we've trained our children to do is believe, and what they're saying to their friends is, yeah, they said I'm grounded for a month, but you know as well as I do, it's not going to be a month. Like, I'm out of jail in like 2 days because they can't handle me. Right? Like, you're supposed to be grounded, not me. Right? Come on. Yeah. Have you ever done one of those punishments? You're like, wait a second. This is worse on me than it is on you. Right? I know mom said I was grounded for 6 months, and I'm not supposed to be texting you, but you know she'll let me out because she never does what she says. And we train our children, listen to me, not to trust what we say. Like, mom, I know what you say, but your actions aren't matching what you say. And this isn't just for moms. How many know this is all of us? Right? We said yes, and then we didn't mean that. And we said no, but then, yeah, well, you know, I'm kind of tired of arguing with you. And here, isn't that the secret of parenthood? Who's got the most endurance? Like, because they go, can't? No, 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 no. Like, can you say long, no longer? Or you just say, okay, whatever. Have you ever done the whatever thing? Anybody? Any parents? Like, just go away. I don't care. Right? You lost, right? And we're not being sincere in our faith because we're teaching them, well, I say no, but what I really mean is if you keep on asking me, then yeah, okay. Right? Like, you say I'm grounded, but I'm not really. You say I love you, but I'm not really for sure that you do. You say that you're going to do this, but I'm not sure, so I don't really trust you. And I think what happens is it translates not just from our everyday life, but it translates into our spiritual life, doesn't it? And they look at us and say, well, you say you love Jesus, but then all I ever hear you do is talk about how the people at the church are this way, or the people at work are this way, and you're gossiping about this. And all I ever hear from you, mom, is gossip about people. But you say you love Jesus, but the Bible says we're supposed to have a good report about people, and all I ever hear is bad reports, like you don't like anybody. Come on, somebody. I know. This stings a little bit. Stings a little bit. Our kids are saying, wait, you said you love Jesus, but I'm not seeing Jesus in you. Mom, you're saying one thing, but you're doing another. And if we're doing that, we're not being sincere, right? If that's the way we're living, it's no wonder that the kids say, yeah, I did my homework, but you find out that they didn't do their homework. It's no wonder that our children say, oh, yeah, I cleaned up my room, and don't find out that they didn't actually clean up their room. Or, yeah, I went to that place, but they really didn't. Because why? Because they're modeling the behavior that they see us do. Right? So we got to let our yes be yes and our no be no. Now, listen, sometimes you got to shut them down. Right? Because I don't know if this ever happened to you, but how many of you ever had a child and they just keep asking and 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 asking? Are you tired yet? And asking and right? right? And they continually ask, and then you just, you get so frustrated that you don't even know, like you don't even remember what the yes or the no is supposed to be, and you just give an answer. You ever done that? Okay, fine. That's not what you would have thought in your right mind, but you are so exhausted from, can we do that? Can we do that? You're just like, okay, well, Sometimes you just got to say, you know what? Wait a second. I'm not answering your question right now. I need some time to think. You're on my last nerve. I'm going to step away. And when I come back, my yes is going to be yes or my no is going to be no, but it's going to be written in stone. Come on, somebody. Sometimes you just got to say, hold on just one second. And here's the truth, though, isn't it? Isn't this, it's the truth for me, it's the truth for you probably. The truth is, when it comes to being genuine, we've all messed up. Like most of us have messed up probably several times this week, right? And so when you ground your kid, ever done this? You're grounded until you're 21 because you're so mad. Anybody? Just Pastor Jeff. Okay. I have. Like you're grounded until you're 21. And then you find out you don't want to have that. You're just like, no, you need to go someplace. It's okay. A matter of fact, it's genuine to apologize and say, you know what? I said that out of anger. I was wrong. Right? That's genuine. Right? So we got to have sincere faith. Here's the second thing. We've got to talk about our faith. You have to find places in your day to talk about the good and the bad, or the good and the challenging times of our faith. Deuteronomy chapter number 11, verses 18 through 19 says, fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols around or on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. What that's saying is simply we talk about our faith through the day and we just wait for the opportunity, right? It's really not that complicated. As a matter of fact, can I just have a confession? Okay, confession moment. Like, we don't have, quote unquote, family devotion time. Like, we don't sit in a circle and say, get your Bibles out and let's do a scripture. What we do have, though, is talks often about our faith. Right? Like, we do have these kind of talks. Like, I didn't know Tim was going to be here, so maybe I should change them because this has nothing to do. Right? But I found out that Charlie, I went to school and I found out Charlie's parents are getting a divorce. Right? I mean, no, that's not just a moment. That's a moment to have a spiritual conversation. Right? That's a moment to talk about how thankful we are that God has helped us to have a healthy family, right? And how grateful we should be. That's a time to say, you know, you really need to have some compassion for Charlie right now. You need to, how can we pray for Charlie, right? Come on, somebody. Anybody? Right? Like it's not just, oh, so I can get on Facebook and say, I heard Charlie's getting a divorce or Charlie's family's getting a divorce. That's not the purpose. The purpose is to have some spiritual conversation over what God calls marriage and how grateful we should be and how can we reach out to Charlie in this time where it's really, really hard. Right? Or maybe your kid says, well, Jenny was at prom last weekend and she slept with Johnny and a few other people. I mean, no, that's not just a go through the thing. That's a moment, right, to stop and say, okay, let's talk about what real love is. Let's talk about what godly standards are. Let's talk about why this is important, why purity is not a dirty word. It's a whole lot better when you do it God's way, right? Let's talk about, like, the spiritual concepts and things that Jesus would have us to do, right? We see people in need, and we remind our children of God's blessing, right, on our children. I'm like, God, you know, some people don't get. I tell our children all the time, I'm like, listen, we're sitting in La Cabana, right, or going through the drive-thru. I don't care. I tell them all the time, I'm like, you know, not everybody gets to do this. Not everybody gets to. Some people don't ever go out to eat ever. Ever. We take it for granted. Oh, I'm just going to go to Popeye's, get a fried chicken sandwich. There's people that don't have $3.99. And so I just remind them of that because I want our kids to have a thankful heart, right? So we just, all through the day, we just find those places, right, to have spiritual conversations. And when God gives us an opportunity to bless somebody, we have them in on it, right? Or we try to, and we don't always, again, we mess up sometimes. But listen, sometimes when God lays it on your heart to do something, like you, our children need to see that. Right, I told you about a couple of weeks ago. We were in Natchez, and my wife she gave like a tip. It was like this. It was a honking tip. You know what I'm saying? Right? Like, I'm just like, wait a second. Are you recall anybody like that? Like, you sure that was the we just had Mexican food. You sure it wasn't the Mexican food? Right? The salsa was a little off. You know what I'm saying? Right? But listen, and I know people, especially in the South, I don't let people know what I do. You need to let your family know the good things you do, because they need to see Jesus with skin on. And God's not going to take away your reward. He takes away reward when you do it for bringing attention to yourself. You're trying to teach them godly, come on somebody, godly principles. Listen, I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me, and God said, do this. And they need to hear that God said, do it, and they see you do it. Right, I'm kind of tired of people like, well, I just do my deeds above, and I don't let anybody know what I'm doing. I get that if you're trying to make it a big deal about you, but if you're trying to teach your children how to love Jesus, like, you need to get off that and show people how to love Jesus. Show your kids, right? Show your kids, hey, you know what? Got this car, and God just laid it on my heart to give this car away, or some cash away, or whatever it is. They need to see you living out your faith, right? That's the type of conversations that are building blocks for our children, right? So don't feel bad. Like, maybe you're a person who has structured Bible study. Like, we have that here, so I'm like, I don't see a big need really at our house sometimes, but we have every day conversations about, this person's being bullied. Okay, what do we do about that? Oh, well, this person's cutting. What do we do about that? Right? Because that's the conversation. That's Jesus with skin on, everybody. Right? And here's my challenge to you. Don't let the church raise your children spiritually. Don't let this culture raise your children spiritually. Don't just give them an iPad and say, well, they're not going to behave, so just give them that, so keep them quiet. You're not raising your children. You've got a digital babysitter. And I think we can look around and see that ain't working out too well. Right? And we can partner with you, and you're not by yourself, right? As a church, we can preach and model and mentor your children, and we can help you. And we've got right now media where you can watch all kinds of great cartoons and that kind of thing for your children, and Bible studies and that kind of stuff. But listen, you're not by yourself, but we do need to be intentional about raising our children. And not just letting our children raise themselves. So number one, we've got to be genuine. Then we talk about our faith. And then number three, we got to serve with our kids. Philippians chapter number 2, verses 19 through 22, it says this: I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive the news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, but not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me and worked for the gospel. But Paul says, Timothy has served with me. And I'm just going to say this, and worship team, you guys can come. We need to serve with our children. Right? Like, if you have a job at the church, invite them, right, to help put up the chairs. Now listen, help put up the chairs. Like, when we go back in the back to do special events, we're not trying to do child labor, right? Because I'm teaching my children to do this. No, you're sitting on your tail and watching people do this. Like, they do it with them, right? Like, we do it with them. This Friday, we had the Convoy of Hope outreach, and usually my children, if they weren't working, would be with me, because here's the deal. Here's what I saw. Here's just some lessons that if you brought your children, if you bring your kids around, here's what you see. Here's what you would see. Friday, I saw 20 LifePoint volunteers come together to make a difference. Shout out to Billy and Ethan. He's not here, and Logan. But like, if they didn't show up, we're just gonna be in a heap of trouble. You hear me? It's gonna be a long day. But they came together. Some people sacrificed time. All of us sacrificed time. Friday's my day off, y'all. The sacrifice time. Some people actually took off work so they could serve. And I know a lot of you would have done it had it not been on a Friday and you had to work. I'm not being critical of that. I'm just simply saying what I saw was some people who said, you know what, I'm going to take off some time. heard this one lady, she's like, she works at the Mission House normally, and she's just like, the Mission House people, honestly, they got to just kind of sit back and watch. And they're like, it's so good, quote, it's so good to see some young people serve. Lifted the load, right? Saw this one family driving through, and there's a guy and his wife or girlfriend, I'm not for sure. All I know is I saw the girl on the passenger seat, and she was just bawling. Because we all had these t-shirts that says, you know, Kindness Crew or Kindness Matters. And a whole bunch of blue t-shirts on both sides. And we're passing out water, we're passing out scripture. It may not matter to us because we got it all and we don't need anything, but for them, it was Jesus with skin on, everybody. Saw one lady that we went up to, and we're fixing to load her vehicle, and she said, I sure am glad that you don't, that I don't have to do this because I have MS and I can't get out. I can't get around, I can't load this. The milk, I think it was nine quarts in a box. I don't know, it was a heavy box. Six, something, I don't know. She said, I sure do appreciate this. Right? Saw people who were thankful to have the food because we thought we were just getting dairy product. We ended up getting about $11,000 worth of milk, y'all, and about $10,500 worth of produce. I saw people who were going to get stuff to take to other families. Alexis called one of her friends that she knew, and they went and they took out, and in our LifePoint people just took stuff to people that weren't able to be there or didn't know about it or whatever, and we were able to do that. And we had a couple of our ladies in the church, they had this lady, she had this raggedy old, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but anybody know, like, sometimes the little buggy thing to pull, it's not like a shopping cart, it was like a little buggy. And again, these boxes were heavy, and actually took physically and walked with these boxes to the lady's house so she could have food. I'm not trying to be dramatic, I'm just saying, when we serve with our children, our kids get to see that every volunteer, listen, I don't know about you, but I know that God showed me some stuff. Right? Our kids don't just need to hear about it, they need to see us being about it. Would you stand with me? So our challenge today is this, and it's challenging because, again, we're talking to moms, but we're talking to all of us today. Isn't it true? That we want to have a living and sincere faith, and to do that, we've got to be genuine. We've got to be real. We got to talk about our faith, and then we've got to serve people together. Serve with our children.